Ah, shit, here we go again.
Welcome to the Sloppy Book Club podcast. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Celise. And welcome to season 3, episode 13. We are excited to share that on this week's episode, we will have guest author Kimberly Lemming of the Mead Mishap series. How excited are you, Jenny?
Super excited. I'm very excited. She's new to me. I just read her book. I know you're a super fan.
I am,
but I'm super excited. So yeah, so let's just bring her on.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you on. It's so, oh my God, I can't.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on.
Happy to be here.
Yes, we are so excited for you to be on. Like, I've seen you on TikTok and, you know.
Oh my gosh, you have the originals in the background.
Yes, I do. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. So, you know, reaching out and seeing if you would come on and you saying yes is like, I'm still in disbelief about it. I know.
Oh, you're so sweet.
So this is really, really exciting for us. This is the first time where I'm a little starstruck. To be totally transparent and honest, because, you know, you see authors online and on TikTok and you're just like, sometimes, you know, they'll say, oh, hi, I love that comment or like your comment, but to like not be face to face, but close to it, it's surreal.
No, I hear you. I forgot how to speak when I met Kennedy Ryan. I'm just like,
I got one of her hugs before and it's
magical.
This world.
I haven't had the pleasure yet. Yes. So sad.
Someday. She's super sweet.
She's extremely nice. She is the kindest person I've ever met in person. Like, you could just feel it off of
right.
her.
And so I have not listened to your pod yet. I do not have time. Are we keeping it super serious? Or are we getting a little funky? Because I do have mine.
Oh, that's perfect.
We have a nice little truly.
Hey, all right, cool.
Oh, yes. So what is in your cup, if you don't mind?
So I'm lazy and didn't feel like going to the liquor store. So I got some lovely boxed wine from Publix.
That's nice. Fine. Nothing like a good box wine.
Yeah. We don't judge. I like a good $10 wine.
Yeah. Delicious. But listen, hijinks, the red blend, it's not bad. Not bad at all.
I might have to look into that. You see, we don't have a Publix here, but I'm pretty sure we'll have, like, somewhere in our wine stores, there's probably one.
We have plenty, well, so.
That's good.
There you go.
So I just have a Truly, and it's a Berry Blast Truly. I didn't want to do wine today, so this is it.
And I have my water. I didn't have time today, but you guys have fun for me.
Oh, we will.
So that's exciting for you guys. But we are excited again to have you on. We are the Sloppy Book Club. She's Jenny and I'm Celise, and you're Kimberly Lemming, and we're excited to have you. For our new listeners or our current listeners, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Kimberly Lemming. I write fantasy rom-coms, like That Time I Got Drunk and Saved a Demon. And yeah, I love crazy kooky titles. I love ridiculous fantasy notions, and I write weird books about them.
Awesome. They're not weird. I absolutely love them. I think they are fun and exciting, and it brings such a different element to fantasy that sometimes I feel like fantasy can be super serious at times. So I love the fun elements of your series. So it's super exciting. I don't think I've laughed more than reading a fantasy than I have with your books. And, you know, some spice in there keeps it even more interesting.
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit.
We'll talk a little bit about that later. But yeah, definitely. We enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, so Elise has been like a super long time fan of yours, and I'm pretty sure she's read all of them already. I just read the first book. Died over it. I don't know why it took me so long, because I've seen it everywhere. Everybody's talking about it, but I finally picked it up and it was delicious. I loved
it. Glad to hear. Yes.
So when did you decide you wanted to become an author? When was that moment for you? Like,
well, I sort of just had a mini mental beat a couple of years ago where I just hated my job and all of the things. And so my husband was just like, wow, you are hella stressed out. Do you want to just like maybe take some time off? maybe quit, maybe write that book you kept talking about. I'm just like, that's all I needed for inspiration. Quit my job and decided to take him up on being like a housewife for a while. That lasted exactly 4 days because I'm the type of person that if I don't have a project, I go insane. And once the house was clean, I'm just like, what do I do with my hands? So I just started writing the book. And I wrote Drunk Demon in like 2 months, gave him like another month to like look it over, spell checks, had some other people check it for spelling errors, and just popped it up on Amazon.
Wow. That's amazing. No way. That fast. And good for your husband too, for like just being like, hey, you're stressed. Do what you want to do and keep going for it. That's amazing.
I'll Thank make you. Sure to my husband to listen to that bit. Just
there
so,
you go.
Just to give him a little bit of inspiration for me, because I could kind of feel that vibe currently. So it's nice to know that you had that person. I'm like, yeah, just quit and just do, you know, live your dream and see where it takes you.
It was a game changer because, of course, obviously I never expected the book to actually do well, but I was mostly just writing it to make my friends laugh. Maybe, I don't know, pay a gas bill or something. So like once I had my friend's feedback, I just like turned it around a couple of weeks and handed it to him to check for spelling errors because my God, I'm dyslexic. And yeah, the rest was history. I was like, holy crap, people actually make money doing this?
Yeah. So like, did you always have that story in your mind? Like, where was that? Where did that come from, that inspiration for your fantasy?
So I've always loved fantasy romance, but most of them are just like really angsty and tough. And with what I was going through mentally, the last thing I wanted was another angsty story. So I'm like, why can't I just have a book like Gallivant? I don't know if you've ever seen that old show, but Gallivant is like this fantasy musical where it's like a rom-com and it's so much fun. And I'm just like, that, I want that in book form. Why can't I find it? Fuck it, I'll write it. And then I just, boom, cinnamon.
Oh, we'll have to check it out then.
Yes.
We'll have to check out that show.
Please do. Gallivant is the best. It's funnier than I will ever be. It's so good.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I've never heard of it, so I definitely want to check that out.
So how do you prepare to sit down and write? Like, what's your go-to? What do you like to have around you? How do you escape from the outside world to sit down and write?
So I need a drink of some sort. It doesn't matter if it's coffee, water, wine. I can't do anything unless there is a cup of liquid beside me. I don't know why. And after that, I'll just mostly just daydream for an hour and do every task I can think of to not write. And then once I've exhausted all of that, just like, damn it, I actually have to do something today. And then I'll sit down and actually write.
That's hilarious. Cause like when I sit down and do work here on my computer, if I don't have something like a snack or a drink, I'm like, oh wait, I need a drink. I'll get up and do that. Oh, mm-hmm. And then I see other things going on in the house and I have to do that first. I'll sit down like, oh, I forgot a snack. So I'm going to go get a snack. So
you know, I'd really love to get this chapter out, but I have to figure out how to crochet first. Otherwise, how can I do anything?
So I'm a pre-K teacher, and the way you guys are describing it reminds me of the book If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. Have you ever read that book?
And
you
it know rings a bell,
right?
I love it.
He's like, oh, if you give a mouse a cookie, he's gonna ask for milk, and then when you ask for milk, he's gonna have a milk mustache, so he's gonna need a napkin, and then all these other things. Yeah. And then it goes right back to he wants a cookie. So it's going right back to, I need to write this book.
That's my brain.
So when you are writing and you do go through like a writer's block, how do you get out of that for yourself?
Lament to the heavens, take a walk in the woods, have my friends convince me I'm not terrible and actually know what I'm doing. And then I just rot on the couch for a couple of days and then I'm usually out of it.
That's awesome. That sounds like a good life. Do you have any hobbies that you like to do, like to escape from the whole writing world?
Oh yeah, I love going on hikes. I'm super into video games. As I'm sure everyone knows at this point, I've been vehemently obsessed with Baldur's Gate 3. It's taken over all facets of my life. Other than that, I love fishing and just like, you know, general water sports.
Nice.
I've never been to
check a fish.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been.
I've never been. No,
I've been like on a cruise ship, but I've never been like on a boat. So like,
see, that's interesting because people have been trying to get me on cruise ships, and I'm terrified of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to conquer that fear.
I can understand that. Like, the ocean is pretty vast, you know?
There's we a don't lot know of what's all in there.
Yeah, it's the unknown. My husband says it all the time. We know more about space than we do the ocean.
And I'm like,
that's so freaky.
And like, I love the beach. I will go play in the ocean. But if I am on a boat and I can't see the shore, I'm in danger. What do you mean there's nothing on the horizon? I don't like that.
Yeah, it is pretty trippy. I do have to say that. Especially
it is
dark. You know, usually you see like a skyline, mm-hmm. or like, you know, buildings and lights in the distance. And yeah, there's.
Then you just see a dark shadow in the ocean. I'm like, oh God, no, just kill me.
Oh, stop. My God. My husband's been trying to get me on a cruise ship and I haven't yet. So.
Oh, well, I am the wrong person to talk to at this point. So.
It's fun. I say do it at least one time. One time in your life. And if you never like it again, don't do it. Just try it. If you weren't a writer, what career do you think you would have?
I do like animating still, because I do have a degree in media arts and animation. So I think I'd probably try to get back to the animation industry.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And for our listeners and our viewers, you were the original creator of these copies, correct? You created your copies. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Like,
thank you. Amazing.
Not only are they beautiful and I love your characters, but just the imagination and like the work behind creating your own work and your own art, I find that to be amazing. We had another author who does the same thing, and I'm just like, I want to go in your brain for a bit and just see that creativity, because it's phenomenal. Like, you're a writer and you can draw pictures. Like, what can
you can draw pictures?
I'm like a stick figure kind of girl. I'm like, look at what you created. It's amazing.
Thank you.
It's so much better to actually see the authors do their own artwork, because you know exactly what they envision in their mm-hmm. stories. So it's not about you having to imagine it or other people's artworks kind of creating different things. Like, you know exactly what the author intended for you, which mm-hmm. is awesome. I love that.
I'm glad they were so well received, because to be honest, the only reason I painted them myself is because I did not have the budget for a cover artist. So I'm just like, I can draw.
Hey, it works.
It's not going to look anything like what's actually out there, but you know what? We'll do it.
It works.
It's beautiful. Your covers are absolutely beautiful. I am a little sad, and I hate to bring it up, but I don't have book 3 because you went traditional.
I did go traditional.
Which, congrats. That's amazing. Congrats.
And you're a bestseller. Congratulations on that. That's even more amazing. Wow. How did that feel when you got that call or email? Like, how does that process even go? Do you get like a call saying that you're a bestseller? How does that work?
Oh, I actually found out through the Berkeley Discord, because someone in there just sort of checks it every week and sort of like, hey, congratulations, Kimberly and this other person, you guys got on the USA Today bestseller list. And I spat out my coffee like, what do you mean? Where do I see this information? So she sent me the link and I scrolled down to my number. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I freaked out.
That's amazing.
That must be such a feeling.
A lot of like indie authors, like they're, you know, real hard on social media right now, and they do all of their own marketing and stuff. Do you think that that was like a huge correlation, like all your social media work, everyone like wanting to read your book, and then all of a sudden you're traditionally published, and it had like, how does that work for you? How does that feel?
Oh yeah, it was definitely the result of the social media following I had, because my readers are just incredible. Like, I was telling my friend, just like, how did you get such a large following? How did you get here? I'm like, I barely did anything other than write books and occasionally jump around on TikTok. My readers are amazing and just throw my stuff through the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it was because of them that I got approached by a publisher, who's just like, hey, we see you have this large fan base online. Wow. People love your stuff. Do you want to go traditional maybe? And I'm just like, if you pay me, sure. And so
that's right. Absolutely.
Even though I was posting videos and trying to keep up, it was really the reader base that was just like, we have to make Kimberly's book succeed. And so around the re-release time, I just saw them pumping it up everywhere and then running to the stores and posting where they found it. Awesome. I'm just like, you guys are the freaking best. Oh my God.
That is amazing.
Can be a beautiful thing. It really can. And that's how I came across your work was a reader was like, this is Kimberly Lemming. This is her Mean Mishap series. This is what it's about. And she created the covers of her books. And if you want the original covers, you better get them now because she traditionally published and the covers are changing. And I went online and I bought them so fast because I was just like, I'm going to have these covers. And they're hot commodities to have because online people are like, where did you get them? How did you get them? I said, I got them before she went traditional, before Amazon took it away.
You know, it cracks me up because that whole fiasco of when I announced the cover change actually got me so much more power in the negotiation process because they saw everyone freaking out online. And they're just like, so, Kim, did you have any ideas of what you wanted the new covers to look like? What would your fans like?
Yeah.
Wow. So you had a lot of input on what your new covers
were. Yeah, I picked the artist.
Like.
That's awesome. That's amazing. And they are so beautiful, too. I have to binge and get all of them together because I want the full collection because they're just so pretty, so I can't wait to have that next to them.
Thank you. And Mike Pate, man, he's incredible. I love his work.
They are beautiful and they're like kind of like realistically looking like how you kind of like picture them in your mind too from like your original cover, so I love that it still had the essence of what you created.
Yeah, he was really great at just like taking a look at the old covers and just like I'd send a little bit more information on what everybody looked like. And he just knocked it out of the park. Like I barely had to tell him anything.
That's awesome. So tell us what book one is about and what leads up to the rest of the series.
Sure. So book one is basically about this demon Fallon who It's actually about this girl, Cinnamon, who gets drunk at a festival. And due to some shenanigans, she ends up beating a demon with a cinnamon stick, which ends up curing his madness that an evil lich placed on him. And so when he comes to, he's really like, oh my God, I'm sane for the first time in weeks. Mm-hmm. What is the cinnamon stuff? It cured me. Awesome. You're going to join me on a quest to stop this evil lich. And Cinnamon, our main girl, is just like, I don't really want to do that. And so Fallon goes, you're so cute. You don't have a choice. Let's go. Say goodbye to your family. We're going on a quest. They go on this quest. They defeat the evil lich. They make some friends along the way. More importantly, they fall in love because dang it, he's just so sexy when he burns his shirt off. And bang slash whoop, they defeat the evil goddess and all of the demons are freed outside of Volsog. Everyone now has to figure out how to navigate a new world where the demons were once sealed away for like 500 odd years and now they're back. And that sort of leads us into book two, where Cinnamon comes home from her journey with not only her new demon husband, but a pirate ship full of even more demons. It's just like, hey, we need housing. What's up? And so her best friend from book one accidentally throws a love potion onto one of her demon friends, Felix, because a guy at a bar was just like, hey, I made you this drink. She's like, I don't want your drink. And she's just like, drink it anyway. And she's like, fuck you. Throws the drink, hits him instead. And he immediately falls in love with her because guess what? It's a love potion. And so that book is sort of navigating whether or not, because Felix is a werewolf who thinks he imprinted on her. So it's like, is he actually her fated mate or is it the result of a love potion? And there's also a bit of mystery going on because some girls are going missing. And of course, it's freaking out Felix because he thinks his mate might get taken away from him. So that also ends up defeating an evil Eldritch Horror. I'm not entirely sure where I was going with that, but you know what? I like that, the Eldritch Horror bit.
Just go with it.
Yeah. So to avoid a bunch of spoilers, what happens with that book and how they defeat that monstrosity, bang, slap, swoop, they win again. And then the third book is actually a huge spoiler. Do you want me to talk a bit about that one? Or do you
book three, I was not expecting that, you know, like that. So like Jenny, you gotta get at it.
I was like, how do I describe these books without spoiling it for everyone? Because book three is such a main spoiler.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask, they're not standalones? Like, you kind of have to read them in order?
I would highly recommend reading them in order, okay. But they are standalone couples. So okay. You can sort of pick up each one and figure it out. But you should definitely read them in order if you can.
I really feel like book one and two, yes, they could be like read on their own. Mm-hmm. But book three, you kind of had to read book one.
Okay. Please read book one before you read book three.
I mean, I'm not a lunatic. I do read books in order. It's just for people out there, just in case, you know, some people like to jump around. But I would actually read them in order no matter what, even if you told me they were standalones.
That makes sense. Oh, and then 1.5 too, so you can get Alexis's intro.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes. Oh my God, Alexis. Like, did you think she would have such a fan base when you wrote about a talking sword?
No, I had no idea. I was just like, this story is kind of boring me. I want a comic relief character. And then I had the idea of just like, well, I kind of need this fox to curse them anyway. What if it was like a whole thing of cursed swords or cursed weaponry? And then what if one of the weapons came with for comedic relief to keep me entertained? And boom, there was Alexis. And I literally just based her off my friend Alexis, who's one of the funniest people I know. She's so outlandish. She's so fun.
Oh, and my God. That's Alexis the sword. Like,
yeah. So I'm like, hey, do you want to be in a book? And she's just like, yes, obviously. Why would you even ask me that? And it cracks me up because she actually bragged to her Dungeons and Dragons group. I was just like, I should get extra points for this swing because I am a sword in this book series. And she pulled it up and her DM was just like, oh, it's fair. You are actually a sword. All right. You get plus D5.
That's awesome. Good for her.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's funny. Now with the, your friend learning about being a sword, how did that go? How did you let her know, like, yeah, you're going to be in my book, but you're a talking sword?
Oh, well, so Kiki, Usha's hyena from book one, is actually named after my friend Kieran. And so it's sort of become a running joke to put my friends in the books. And so I was like, hey, I think I'm going to make a talking sword. Alexis, do you want to be a talking sword? She's like, yes, obviously.
Absolutely.
And she has a fan base, a really big one at that. Like, people are screaming for a book, possibly.
So the elongated tone makes me think you have not been on my Twitter lately.
No, I don't have Twitter.
I was going to say, okay. I don't think she has a Twitter.
Well, let me pull up.
Let us know.
The name.
I'm breathing really hard here. Wait.
Just give me 1 second. Oh,
yeah, of course. You can have all the seconds if I'm getting a book with Alexis in it.
So let's see if this title tips you off. That time I heated myself into a human body just to throw hands.
No way. I thought that was a joke.
No, I just started writing it.
No way.
You just made her life. Oh my God, she's gonna die.
So it's not going to come anytime soon because I have to write book two of Aliens first. And I've sort of been going back and forth between Ambrose's book and now Alexis's book just because my brain cannot stay still. But yes, she is getting a book.
I thought that was a joke. I didn't think that was a real thing.
Everything I do, well, most of the things I do are powered by spite. So
yes, I am excited. Oh my God, Jenny, I don't even know. Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. Like, I'm melting away just with that.
I'm done. So let's talk about really quick for, I know you said you kind of just wrote that first book within like 2 months, you banged it out. Like, did you just like write straight through? Did you plot out what you wanted to write? Like, how did that go for you?
So I have been trying to chase the magic of book one since I wrote it, because I don't know what was going through my mind, but I literally just sat down and was just like giggling like a maniac, just like, I'm going to write this thing. And it came so easily that I just like blew through it. Then the next book was a little harder. And then book three was especially hard because now I actually have to like plan and figure out how to, you know, write what I'm not just like, wee. So. Yeah. It's been sort of like a weird mix of just like sometimes it comes easily, sometimes it's hard, and like certain weeks I can't write anything at all, then like another week I'll write 10,000 words in like 2 days, and like my mind's gate is open. All I want to do is write forever.
And when you feel that, like, that need, like, oh, I need to write, do you just like drop everything, everyone goodbye, sit down and just bang away at the keys?
Oh yeah, I'll close my door and be like, everybody leave me alone, I'm dead to you. See you in like a couple hours.
Now, wow. I know that you did, like, you went away for a bit for writing. Now, is that for the alien romance, correct? The alien yes. romance that you're writing? Mm-hmm. So how is that process going?
Oh, I actually turned in the first draft of that book a couple of weeks ago. So going away did work. I finally got through the writer's block I had with that one. But that book is so goofy and fun. I'm very excited to see what my editor thinks of it, because I like sent her snippets throughout. And every time she's just like, you just get more insane. But I love it. So continue. So
we love insane. We love insane.
Bring it.
Please.
Now, with your writing process and all these characters that you have, is there a character that is your favorite? Is there one that's really hard to write? I don't like saying least favorite, but like hard to write about, any of those kind of characters, like, for you?
So I'd say Alexis is my favorite character to write, just because I can just do literally anything that pops into my head, because she'd probably do it. If it's outlandish and psychotic, she'd probably do it. And then boom, we're fighting a cat zombie or whatever we're doing. And I think for the hardest one, I would say it's Ambrose, which is why I've had to put that book on hold for so long. Like, he's very quiet and reserved, but also psychotic. So it's been sort of difficult trying to figure out like how he's going to interact with the world and how I can actually write a book without him. Without him going to prison. So.
We don't want that.
I can't wait to read these. I need to catch up.
Yeah. The characters are phenomenal. Like, you know how you come across a book and you love the main characters, but you like fall in love with like the side characters? Like, this is that kind of world that you created. It's just like the main characters are amazing, but then you have all these other characters around them that you're like, I need to know what's happening with them, or I need to know what's happening with them. And it's just like, I want books about everyone, including like the smallest character. Like, you just fall in love with everyone. How do you feel about that when people are just so excited about each character, you know, not just the ones that are the main plot?
I mean, it's great. I've just been sort of trying to figure out how to write different personalities so I can do those books justice, because mm-hmm. I don't really have a background when it comes to creative writing. So I sort of just wrote whatever I felt best. But now that I'm a few books in, it's just like, how do I make characters sound different? I got to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
But it's great when it's just a side character. You'd be like, oh, well, they obviously have this quirky little thing here. But once I start diving into what their book is going to be about, I sort of like have to go in like I'm a therapist. I'm like, what happened to you as a child? And how did that make you feel?
Can I just say, there is one scene in book one that I absolutely fell in love with, and I'm sure it's a lot of people's favorites, but the whole swamp scene, and then when Fallon was unbraiding her hair and washing it. I died over that scene. That entire scene is my absolute favorite, and I'm obsessed over it. Will forever be.
Thank you.
Just so
that
you know.
Is a very popular scene.
Is it? Okay.
You got it, Jenny. You got it.
So if you could spend a day with one character from any of your books, even like your work in progress books, like, who would it be and what would you do?
Dante. And
where's he from?
So Dante is he's book three, but he's the 700-year-old dragon you met in book one.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Yes. And with him, I imagine we just like go for a flight and go for like a shopping spree and eat only the finest foods, because he is a man of taste. Mm-hmm. And then he'd like play me a concert on his cello, and we just like talk about music and books all the entire day. Like him, I feel like would be the most fun to chill with, because one, he'd pay for everything. And two, he's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to Fiji? We're already here, actually. I booked us a pre-flight because I'm insanely well prepared for everything.
get that.
Either that or like Tons of Pie, if I remember correctly. He loves pie. And I'm a huge sweetie at heart. I love sweets. So I would definitely want to hang out with Dante and his pie. He's a pie connoisseur. He's always buying new ones. So he's definitely one that I would like to. So I know you have plans for the series with Alexis, and you're working on another series. Like, how is that process? Like, for your next books, did you know that it would be within the Mead Mishap series? Did you know, or what are there characters outside of them, or like worlds outside of that that you're interested in exploring?
So I think one of the things I struggled with this past year is sort of trying to keep myself on track with certain characters and like certain books I feel like I have to do in a certain number in the series. And my brain doesn't really work that way.
Okay.
And the Alien series sort of came about because I desperately needed a break from Mead Mishaps. Like, I was just staring at it too long. I didn't know what to do anymore. And so I started writing the Alien book. I'm like, oh my God, writing is fun again. And so I wrote that one and we sold it to Berkeley, which thank goodness. And I finished the draft on that. And now it's just like, well, now I kind of want to go back to Mead Mishaps and explore these characters. So I've written a little bit for both Usha and Ambrose and Alexis. And because I have no set date for either of them, like those are not sold to anyone. I can sort of just like let them be my pet projects and only write them when I'm feeling it. And I feel like that makes it become such a much better book. And even in doing that, I'm still letting my brain replenish to write the second book for the Alien series because I'm not just chained in every which way direction. So I think so long as I focus on having these aliens as like the main, that's the one I have to do with the publisher, I can just let my brain rest whenever it needs to and go back to Mead Mishaps. And that has been really nice so far.
Because that's like your original baby, you know? Like, and it's supposed to be fun. So I'm excited for you and excited for the alien romance too, and see where that goes. Like, I really enjoy your writing.
How many books are the alien romance books going to be? Is that going to be like a big series?
It can be, but so far I'm just contracted to write two. We'll see if we want more after that, but I've set up the series to where I can make that another long series if I wanted to, mostly because I'm also having fun with dinosaurs and Furby aliens and all the nonsense. So
I'm excited.
Possibilities are endless.
Oh yeah. I don't know if you can tell from my horribly short endings. I'm terrible at endings. I don't like saying goodbye. So I often leave like little op-eds for myself to like, if I want to come back to this, I can, and I can pick it up right here.
I love that. Because you don't want to say goodbye to characters sometimes in the world. So I totally understand that. And I love that about your writing as well. So that's super exciting.
Are there any books out there that you would recommend to people when they ask you? Because I like getting recommendations from authors. Because if you like their books, you want to know what they're reading and what they like.
I would definitely recommend The Grim Reaper's Lawyer by Mia Monique. That is still one of the favorite books I've read in a long time. Okay. And I also really enjoyed What Moves the Dead by T.K. Kissinger. And
I've seen that one, yeah.
It's so good. And what was one now I'm just blanking on every single book I've ever read.
I know, it's like, do I even read? Yeah, somebody asked me that, I was like, I don't read. What are you talking about?
Do I read? Do I know what a book is? Oh, I did also finish I Feed Her to the Beast and the Beast is Me by Jemison Shea.
Oh, I just finished that one.
Isn't it so good?
I'm jealous.
Oh. Oh,
I listened to the audiobook and I'm like, I was in tears. Like, it is just so beautifully written. I'm obsessed with it. I can't, like, read it, Celeste. It is so good. The prose
is just incredible. So good. My goodness.
Jenny, your TBR, I think this is, for me, is endless. I'm never going to get there.
It is like, I listened to it on audiobook, so it's right up your alley. So just read it. You'll love it. It is so good.
Okay. Everyone, I believe you. That one. You've never seen me wrong. And if Kimberly Lemming says it's good too, I mean, I got to put it at the top of my TBR now. Now, I know you love writing your fantasies. Is there another genre you enjoy reading?
Sci-fi, definitely. And then I've been really into horror for some reason. Yeah. So mostly fantasy, sci-fi, horror, and romance.
Okay. Do you think you'll ever branch out and write in another genre?
It's funny you should say that because I am sort of working on another pet project. Yes, I know. I have way too many pet projects. But this one is a lot darker than what I'm used to.
Ooh.
And so the basic premise is that there is this woman that was basically going to be a virgin sacrifice. And but she didn't know until she actually gets to the altar. And she's just like, oh my God, what the fuck? And so she ends up escaping and running into the woods where she finds the old god they're trying to keep sealed away. And the way to free him is to for him to basically eat the five hearts of the five founders that sealed him away however many years ago. And she is one of them. And he's just like, I'll help you escape if you give me your heart. And so she's just like, well, I'm dead either way. And honestly, fuck those guys who are trying to sacrifice me. Take my heart. And so he is going to eat it and basically use her as an avatar because he can't leave his altar until he has the rest of the hearts. So he is going to like imbue her with his powers to go finish the job and free him. And if she does it, she'll be let go. And that one is called Heartbeat Harvest.
I am in.
I am in.
So
that sounds
still,
so good.
Yeah, it's still a romance, but it's a lot darker. And I might have it set in the Mead Mishaps realm. I'm not entirely sure yet.
Oh, so good.
I'm in heaven. Books are in my hands. Like I just the anticipation of it. I'm just I can't wait.
We'll see if I can handle that one because I don't know. It's not really a comedy, so we'll see if I have the chops for it.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure. So do you have anything coming up this year? Any book signings or anything that you want to let people know?
Oh, yeah. I'll be at STEMI LitCon again this year. So that's going to be super exciting. I don't have any other releases planned currently, but we did just re-release That Time I Got Drunk and Saved a Human, which is now available in all of the places. So be sure to go check that out.
I need to buy them. Yeah. I listened to your first book on audiobook, so I need to just buy them all.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta have my trophies.
You will not be disappointed. They are so good. Even the little novellas with them, because I read those too, because I just couldn't help myself.
Of course. You have to.
But we are so happy that you were able to come on and share all your books with us and talk all your books and your upcoming projects. And we are so excited to see what comes of these projects and your work in progresses. And we're excited to read them. I know I am. I'm still in this belief that Alexis is getting her own book. Like, I'm still like in... I can't believe it. I know it's, you know, going to be out there, but I'm like.
You made her day.
You really did. I was not expecting that.
I mean, at this point, I pretty much have to.
Yeah, it's out there now.
Yeah. Whenever it happens, everyone will be excited.
No pressure.
I'm honestly at this point I'm tempted to just like never talk about the progress on it, and then one day it's just going to be out in the world just like surprise.
Oh my god, you're going to cause a frenzy. It's going to be chaos.
The whole internet is going to fall apart. They're going to be like, wait, Kimberly, let me just what she did what.
Well, now you're tempting me even further, so I guess don't look forward to anything.
Mm-mm. Go for it.
I'm sure it will be amazing.
Well, we were so excited to have you on. Thank you so much for coming. It was very exciting talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Thanks so much.
Bye.